Dateline, October 2005. This King Goes to 11. Back in the 1990s, fighting game fanatics such as myself had an abundance of choices to play year in and year out. But Capcom's Street Fighter Saga and SNK's The King of Fighters franchise loomed the largest in my eyes. To lay people, the two games might resemble one another. Both brands feature a large cast of martial artists trying to knock each other unconscious. But under the hood, they're more dissimilar than similar. The main difference between SF and KOF lies not in the rosters or inputs or storytelling, but in their release structure. Once Capcom hit the jackpot with Street Fighter II, the company spent years releasing updates and spin-offs before eventually counting to three. Their crosstown rivals at SNK, however, made KOF an annual event and even put the release year in the title of each installment. To put it in simpler terms, while Street Fighter tended to spin its wheels and even take multi-year breaks between new entries, The King of Fighters maintained a breakneck pace on the arcade highways. This kept my friends and I hooked, because by the time we felt we had wrung the maximum amount of entertainment out of the latest game, we could already read about and look forward to a new one coming soon. Even when SNK filed for bankruptcy and substantially scaled back operations, KOF continued unabated in the early 21st century. Indeed, in a time when 2D games, especially fighting games, became scarce, The King of Fighters kept showing up like clockwork. The beleaguered company's output fluctuated in terms of quality, of course, but disappointment doesn't sting as bad when you know a sequel's already in the works. Nothing lasts forever, least of all video games, and when SNK announced the company's proprietary arcade console Neo Geo hardware had run its course after 14 years, fans feared the worst. By this point, the arcade market in the US had dried up. We used to have multiple go-to locations in suburban New York to play these games one quarter at a time, but now had to settle for making special trips to Chinatown in Manhattan for any hopes of finding cabinets in working condition. With no Neo Geo, how could we possibly play KOF? The answer, as it turned out, was on Sega's Atomos Wave arcade system, as SNK began releasing games for that hardware within months of the Neo Geo's demise. After testing the waters with a couple spin-offs, SNK brought back their flagship series with a proper sequel when The King of Fighters 11 debuted in Japanese arcades 20 years ago this month. From the top, The King of Fighters 11 distinguishes itself from its predecessors by dropping the year from the title. To be fair, the games leading up to 11 had barely made it into arcades during their designated year, and both KOF 2001 and 2003 didn't get home versions until the following spring. With a Roman numeral replacing the Year of Our Lord, SNK made it clear that the era of annual tournaments had come to an end. Also at an end, the customary four-button layout of the Neo Geo. Sega's Atomos Wave supports five buttons, so KOF 11 makes use of this expansion by mapping a special attack, aka thrust attack or knockback attack, to this fifth input. It's not a new move, though. rather a new way to execute the hard knockdown blow that formerly required pressing the C and D buttons together. The remaining buttons handle attacks and swapping characters. Swapping characters? Yes! While the King of Fighters has featured team battles since its inception, its first 9 years of games exclusively used a turn-based method of switching combatants. KOF 11 retains the system introduced in 2003, wherein players get to tag in any teammate at almost any time. In fact, the service has expanded to include quick shifts and saving shifts. The former lets you change characters mid-combo, opening the door to even longer strings of attacks. The latter lets you tag out while taking damage, breaking up your opponent's combo and sending their victim safely to the sidelines. Like in 2003, the King of Fighters 11 lets players appoint one member of their team as a leader. The designation is no mere formality, as it grants that fighter access to one extra powerful supermove. KOF 11 adds a new wrinkle called Dream Cancels, enabling leaders to interrupt one supermove with their very own leader supermove. This requires a lot of stored super meter, but if properly deployed, can instantly knock out a member of the opposition. Looking at fan-made compilation videos, many of the game's 100% damage combos include a leader super or dream cancel to cross the finish line. Roster-wise, the King of Fighters 11 doesn't rock the boat. A vast majority of the in-game sprites returned from previous KOF entries or other SNK games like Mark of the Wolves. A few longtime favorites didn't make the cut. Leona Heidern, Mai Shiranui, and Joe Higashi are MIA. But with 36 selectable fighters by default, 11 upholds the series' tradition of overwhelming players with choices. A PlayStation 2 home version would add 7 more characters, including a rightful restoration of Mai to the mix. Of the new faces, my personal favorite is Oswald, a graying card shark who fights in a fancy suit and slashes foes with his lucky deck. In general, I feel KOF tries to maintain a balance of brash young participants and seasoned veterans. For every perky schoolgirl and aloof schoolboy, you can expect to find at least one crusty geezer. I greatly appreciated the inclusion of Oswald in a cast of mostly 20-somethings, even if I was still a 20-something myself at the time. Plus, we all know that throwing playing cards as weapons looks incredibly cool. Was a tumultuous year for me as I quit my full-time job and moved away from my friends and family to finish my college degree. This meant parting with nearly all of my accumulated video games, including my Neo Geo. While emotional, I knew SNK's decision to sunset the machine and the lack of a King of Fighters 2004 meant I had no need to squeeze the console into my dorm room, to say nothing of its bulky joysticks and cartridges. Part of going back to school included studying abroad, bringing me to Osaka for the first time in 2005. Within weeks of my arrival at Kansai International Airport, I found myself wandering Japanese arcades and reveling in the excitement therein. Less exciting, the omnipresence of smokers and ashtrays that ensured every room smelled of secondhand death. The recently released Neo Geo Battle Coliseum remained a frequent sight at the time, but operators had already begun hanging posters advertising the upcoming birth of King of Fighters 11. Experiencing the arcade launch of a brand new KOF game in Japan thrilled me, yet also delivered a few pitfalls along the way. Language-wise, I understood enough Japanese to read the instructions and learn the moves, having spent years importing Dreamcast discs and deciphering the manuals. Culture-wise, I simply couldn't compete with the skill level at even remote suburban arcades. Everyone wanted to play since the game had just come out, but this presented an opportunity for battle-hardened experts to feast on the influx of new players. This included foreign exchange students like me, who just wanted to practice against the computer. The struggle of competing against wizard-caliber players, combined with my schoolwork and the general hectic nature of studying abroad, kept me from enjoying The King of Fighters 11 as much as I wished. An eventual PS2 release made its way stateside, but by that point, I had already moved to Japan, gotten married, and had a full-time job again. I'm glad that The King of Fighters and Street Fighter made arcade comebacks and enjoy ongoing relevance today thanks to online play. By this point, both series have abandoned 2D sprites for 3D graphics, which disappoints aficionados like me. But the public has spoken, and they clearly prefer polygons to pixels. I'm a little more perturbed that Street Fighter IV won acclaim the world over for revitalizing the fighting game genre, while KOF, which kept operating throughout the almost decade-long gap between Third Strike and SF4, remained niche at best. In that regard, The King of Fighters 11 stands out as a stellar, if underrated, arcade gem. With the sorry state of fighting games at the time, few players had a chance to see it, let alone enjoy it. Today, both KOF and the aforementioned Neo Geo Battle Coliseum remain curiously unavailable to modern players, as SNK has prioritized reviving its Neo Geo catalog, but not its Atomus Wave titles. I don't know if this is a rights issue, or if SNK simply doesn't want to revisit this era, but I hope these games get a second chance at finding an audience. Especially now that modern KOF has reverted back to turn-based team battles. Let the people dream cancel SNK. They deserve it. Thank you for listening to this audio version of my latest This Week in Retro column, a Retronauts exclusive for our Patreon supporters. My name is Diamond Fight, and you can find me on the internet by visiting my website, fightclub.me. That's FEITCLUB.ME. Good night!